I'm joined now by the coach, the voice of the Toronto Raptors and all things NBA. It is Jack Armstrong. Jack, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Hi, Matt. How are you, buddy?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. I was happy to see DeMar DeRozan look great, play great. Bummed out the Raptors lost to the Bulls last night, 111-105. And I wanted to start by talking about your thoughts on the last 3 minutes of games. And recently, Toronto has played the elite of the NBA. Phoenix, Miami, Dallas, Chicago. These are teams that lead their divisions, their conferences. Against the Phoenix, against the Suns, they were up by one with a minute 41. Against the Heat, it was a three-point game with 1:48 left. Against Dallas, Van Vliet hit a long three. Toronto led by one with 1:55 left. And finally, against the Bulls, OG Anunoby dunk. Toronto led by one with just over 3 minutes to go. In all four of those games, they ended up losing. And I know it's a long-winded question, but there was a lot of exposition I had to get out. I'm just wondering your thoughts in these recent fourth-quarter games.
Well, you're talking to a former college head coach with a 154 career record, and there'd be so many games where, you know, we play 40 minutes in the NCAA. Obviously, the NBA is 48. And, you know, if the games are 34, 35, 36 minutes, that'd be a pretty decent coach. unfortunately, those 4 to 6 minutes extra change things a little bit, sometimes a lot. And I'm joking, but my point is there comes a point where when you get into the final moments, and the real short strokes where you got to make your putts and the little things matter and talent level matters and depth matters and all those kind of things, it comes out. And to me, I really like where the Raptors are headed. I like where they're at. I'm having fun watching them this year. I think they're on the way back. You know, last year was kind of a aberration and a difficult year playing in Tampa, but the previous years, as we know, they made the playoffs 7 years in a row and won a title. And I think they're at that beginning stage again that, you know, hopefully leads to something really cool down the road, but they're not there yet. And clearly, you know, the bench has its struggles at times, and Nick Nurse has, you know, decided to tighten his rotation. And as the head coach, he knows his team better than anybody else. And I just think that there's a wear and tear on that happens. So I guess to me, I think February 10th is a big date to look at between now and then. Can they add maybe a piece? And it doesn't have to be something dramatic. It doesn't have to be a big name person, just to help the cause. Because I think if you get one more guy, I think this group not only can be in the playoffs, but can be a really difficult team to play. But I just think they come up a little bit short because many times they're on demand. And I just think that has a wearing effect over the course of a long game, and it really shows late in games.
Yeah, and when I it was my opening thought today was about the last 2 or 3 minutes of these games. And I said it's not just about, you know, the big stars, but it is about the heavy minutes. It's about the lack of depth and also partially, you know, just not playing in front of a crowd. And I think my overall thought was those last 2-3 minutes of games against, and it needs to be said again, against great teams. Like the Suns are number one. The Bulls are number two. The Heat are number one. To me, it illustrates just the gap between Toronto, who's a solid middle-class team. It just exemplifies the gap between Toronto and the truly best teams in the league.
You know, and to me, I don't think there's that much a gap. It's there. It's evident. It's obvious. But the types of guys they have and the makeup of their team closes that a little bit. Yep. I think Nick Nurse, pound for pound, is as good a coach as there is in the NBA today. That closes the gap a little bit more. And I wouldn't say we're down to the short strokes, but I would say that, you know, there, you know, they're not far off from being a team that you go, oh my goodness. And you know, if you know, maybe they get the sixth spot and they play right away in the playoffs. Maybe they're in the play-in situation and they get through that. But I think if you're the other team, whether that be Milwaukee or Brooklyn or Cleveland or Chicago or Miami, I really feel like if you know, if they can improve their roster just a little bit, they'd be a heck of a team to have to play in the first round. I mean, if you get Ken Birch healthy again, and everyone's talking about they need a center, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that as well. I think you just need a little bit more juice, a little, just another guy, like, obviously, Mihailuk or Watanabe, guy like that. You know, they've had their moments, but you know, right now it's clear that they're not playing a whole lot, if at all. But someone like that, someone, a wing guy that, you know, he's on the weak side and the ball finds him because people are loading up on the better guys. And that guy can make two or three threes or generate a play or two off the bounce. I really think that's what they need. I feel confident in a Kem Birch and a Precious Achiuwa or whatever way you want to play if you're worried about the five spot. I mean, to me, I think it's more a matter of this is a perimeter league. This is a skill league. This is a league based upon shot making and spacing. And to watching how Pascal Siakam's passing the ball right now.
It's incredible.
I think, he's playing the best he's played in his whole career. He's playing better than he was when he was on the All-Star team. He's playing better than he was when he was All-League. He is, you know, a tough night last night, but that's okay. You know, what I'm seeing right now is an incredible next step for him. And Van Vliet is giving you all-star effort. And OG Anunoby's a really good player. And Gary Trent Jr., as you can see, can really play. Scotty Barnes was a steal in the draft. So they got dudes. They just need, you know, just – and again, they don't need another – it's always great to get another great big-name player. But based upon cap, based upon where they're at right now – you know, that's probably not the way you're going to navigate it. And again, you know, you look at the teams that they had starting in, 2014, their first playoff run. You build by, in my opinion, you know, not only build by talent, you build by winning. And I think this group has enough in them to be a winning team. And again, it might be the, you know, the John Salmons, Gravis, Vasquez. You don't need like a superstar. You just need a guy or two that is a good, solid pro that can bring certain things to you. And, you know, I kind of wish like a Mihailuk was a little more consistent because I look at him, he can't create. He's shown at times that he can shoot the ball, but unfortunately he doesn't do it with regularity, consistency. And there's a reason why he's been on a few teams now. And I hope for his sake he breaks through and becomes that consistent player. But that's kind of what you need, you know, is that one more guy, one and a half guys, whatever it may be, that can just kind of take a little bit of the load off of a Fred VanVleet and a Pascal Siakam. Because I tell you what, if VanVleet sees more single coverage, if you throw two guys at Siakam, and he's passing it so well right now, and you got options at every spot that can punish you when you leave them open, you know, they're good. And they defend well enough. They turn you over. They're scrappy on the glass. Again, they're well coached. The details are good. You know, they just need somebody to break through. Maybe a Banton or a Flynn breakthrough here as we go along. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's just one of those things right now where I honestly don't think they're far off. Is there a gap? Yes, definitely. There's no doubt there's a gap. But I don't think the gap's as big, as good as, you know, we're looking at the top team. I'm not scared of Miami or, you know, the Raptors have played great against Milwaukee. And, you know, am I scared of those teams? Based upon what I've seen so far, you know, they're not – They're not head and shoulders above anybody else. They're good. But I tell you what, you get in the middle of a series with them, and you improve your roster a little bit, I tell you what, you could make some noise in a series against any of those teams.
Yeah, and to add to your point, again, joined by Jack Armstrong, but everyone knows that, is like, take the Bulls game last night. If Gary Trent Jr. doesn't get eliminated, doesn't get ejected, I think there's a much better chance the Raptors win. Delano Banton missed those two free throws, and the Raptors miss that offense. And really, that is what Toronto needs, is they need that one other scorer. And again, doesn't have to be an elite player, but that one guy that can get you two or three buckets down the stretch when you need it. I think that's far more important than center. And then the one name you mentioned, like, if I'm looking at this year, Malachi Flynn, I wonder how different this team would be if Malachi Flynn, and a lot of guys regress, and considering how well he did last year, where in relation to how late he was drafted, he had a great rookie year. But if he could have taken another positive step forward, maybe it would have meant less wear and tear on Van Vliet and that other scoring option that the team needs.
Well, just two things. Number one, when we talk about regression, I don't know how much regression. I'm not there every day in practice, so I can't tell you. I can't speak to that. I can tell you, though, that a year ago, he was on a team that wasn't winning. And obviously they shut some guys down and guys were banged up and they were playing in Tampa. They had a COVID outbreak, yada, yada, yada. But he was getting numbers on a team that wasn't winning. So now you have a team that's better and they're winning more. So those minutes are harder to come by. Ask Fred VanVleet when he had to play behind guys when he first got here, or Pascal Siakam. The bar has been raised now. And so my point is, there's a lot of guys that play for teams in the league that are on the bottom half of the league that get numbers, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're ready to help you win.
Yep.
And I think for a guy like Malachi Flynn, this is a good test. This is a good opportunity for him to grow as a player. He's playing with a guy like Fred VanVleet, who's a wonderful role model for him, as was Kyle Lowry for Fred. And I think in time, with patience, there'll be some great lessons for him. But I like the fact that every minute he gets, he has to earn.
Agreed.
And I think that's what made Fred VanVleet a better player. That's what made Pascal Siakam a better player, OG Anunoby. To me, that's what good organizations do. That it's not, you could go play at the Sacramento Kings right now. I'm sure Malachi Flynn could play on some of those teams right now and get numbers. The question is, do those numbers translate at this stage of his career where he can impact winning too? And I think there are phases and stages that a young player has to go through. And to me, unfortunately, in our society, everything's about, I heard the coach of the Oklahoma City had a great, the Thunder had a great line a few weeks ago. He goes, there's a big difference between Skittles and spinach. You can get the quick sugar high, or you can grind, and it's not as pleasant, and it's not as sexy. But in the long run, and I said this last night, I was on with Brian Hayes and O-Dog and those guys, a lot of times the team that you break in with, in many ways, determines the type of pro you become. And I think for a guy like Malachi Flynn and Delano Banton and the 905 organization that they have, and Patrick Mutombo is a wonderful coach, that I think in time, going back and forth and having to pay your dues and get knocked around a little bit, but being around a winning team with high character guys and great coaching and accountability, in time, I think those guys have a chance. Maybe they're just not ready yet, but in time, it's been proven to work. And I think it'll work again. And sometimes it works for you. And then ultimately, you might turn that guy into an asset. As good as DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl were, and you attach a number one pick there as well, they were turned into Danny Green and, more importantly, Kawhi Leonard, and you get over the hump. So, development isn't not only for the sake of improving your team on the court in your own uniform. sometimes it improves your organization being able to have assets that you can move as well.
I would rank, by the way, Jack, I would have Smarties and peanut M&Ms higher than Skittles, but I'd have all them all ranked higher than spinach.
But it was a great quote.
It is. You know, I love that quote. It stuck in my head.
And it really kind of defines what we go through. It's interesting. I just read an interview earlier today with a guy who just passed away, one of the legendary scouts in basketball history. His name is Tom Kachowski, a New York guy. His brother Steve just retired. He's in the Canadian Basketball Hall of Fame. Steve was the great coach at St. FX out on the East Coast. And Coach K was the Olympic, was the coach of Team Canada, everything. And his brother had a great line. He says, why do they put blinders on horses? And his whole point was, in an era now of social media and instant gratification and all that, it's so hard to keep young players dialed in. And his point about Kobe Bryant, I was reading it, he saw all these guys when they were high school players. And his point about Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant in the interview was those guys did have blinders on. And his feeling was, there wasn't social media yet, but those were guys that were so special, that were so dialed in, that they weren't going to be stopped from getting to their goal. And I look at a guy like Fred VanVleet, he has that type of mentality, that kind of makeup. And I think what you have when you have a good organization is that you challenge guys to put those blinders on and to really dial in and say, hey, this is not about being good. This is about being great, because good is the enemy of great, and it's all about staying focused and keep growing and keep grinding. And that goofy analogy I brought up about the spinach, but to me, that's such a big, big thing. And again, the better organizations, I don't care in what sport, do it better, because they challenge guys, they hold guys accountable, and they make them go through their steps, and you don't skip your steps.
That, from someone who has spent a career doing long-distance running, you know about not skipping steps. All the best, Jack. Love it. Love having you on. Love the passion. We will chat soon. Be good and be safe, my friend.
Thanks, Matt. And when you skip steps, obviously you fall right on your face, so it's never good.
That is true. That is Jack Armstrong, the coach.